Let's open to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. Tonight we're going to look at one of the Psalms of David. Psalm 17. And scholars believe that David wrote this psalm when he was surrounded by Saul's men. And you may remember that Saul was so envious of David that Saul wanted to take David's life. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands, was the song that the women of Israel sang in praise of David and the great accomplishments that he made. Saul did not like that. God had decided to put David on the throne and even sent Samuel to anoint him. Even Jonathan, Saul's own son, knew that David was going to be the king of Israel someday. Even though Jonathan had a right, in an earthly sense, I suppose you could say, to inherit that kingdom. Nevertheless, God had anointed David. Saul did not like that, but Saul was only to blame because he was the one who had disobeyed God's instructions to begin with. And because of his disobedience, God told him that he was going to take the kingdom away from him. And so from that point forth, Saul became so envious of David. And even when David was in his own court, on one occasion, he took up a javelin or a spear and threw it at him to try to kill him right there in his own throne room. David got out of town and went on the run away from Saul. Saul pursued him, and this story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 23, 1 Samuel chapter 23, into the wilderness. But let's look at Psalm 17 and read that, and then we're going to go back and look at 1 Samuel 23 and read the history. So this is a prayer of David. Now consider, David was out there in the wilderness, and he's on the other side of a big mountain, or a rock even, maybe, a big rock. And Saul's on the other side of that rock, and his army is coming around. And they're about to squeeze in David and his men. And here's the prayer that David prays. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. And you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who oppress me, from the deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth, as a lion is eager to tear his prey. and like a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possessions for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. It's a very interesting psalm. It's a prayer that David is praying to be delivered from the wicked. And he begins with this plea, hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. He wants the Lord to hear him. And the Lord is a God who hears us. Maybe we remember the story of Hezekiah, who the Lord visited with a prophet telling him that he was going to die because of a sickness that he had. And he prayed earnestly to the Lord. And the prophet came back and said, the Lord has heard your prayer. You will not die. When we pray, we can expect that the Lord will answer our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation nor shadow cast by turning. God is the greatest giver if we will ask and seek and knock for those things that we need. David also talks about his own innocence here. He says, let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. And his prayer is not from deceitful lips. David's life was pure, in comparison to Saul's at least. David was not without sin. We all know that. And he occasionally did things that he should not have done. But by and large, David had a great relationship with God, and he sought God's forgiveness within his life. That's one of the things that made him a man after God's own heart, was his humility and his penitence. In Psalm 51, that great psalm that is written after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered Uriah, David bitterly weeps and asks God to forgive him of his sin. But he knew that the sacrifices of the Lord were not bulls and goats or rams or anything like that, but the sacrifice of the Lord was a humble heart. That's what God does not despise. And so he had his heart right when he approached God in this prayer. He speaks about vindication. This is the notion of true justice. He knew that he had done nothing, objectively speaking, to invite the king's wrath, but that Saul's wrath was directed at him because of Saul's own sins. And so justice in that circumstance is to be done based upon truth. And God is the one who visits justice when all others do not have the ability to do that. Well, let's turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 23 for just a moment and read this story, because it's interesting to see that David is here in the wilderness and he is being pursued by Saul. So let's look. 1 Samuel 23, starting in verse 14. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding with us in the strongholds in the woods and the hills of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure and see the place where his hideout is and who has seen him there, for I am told he is very crafty. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah." So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore, he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. When Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. Now let's stop right there. David now prays his prayer here at this point. And this is the prayer. We have it here in Psalm 17. Deliver him from the hands of the wicked. So David understood that if we're going to approach God in prayer, we need to have confidence that God will hear our prayer. You know, Jesus taught this lesson as well when he cursed that fig tree. And the next day his disciples said, "Look, the fig tree, it's withered away and died." And Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe that you shall receive it, and you shall have it." We need to have confidence in God in prayer. But we need to pray with a pure heart. Notice verses 3 and 4. "You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing. I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip." And so David's heart had been tested. Do we test our hearts when we pray? Do we examine ourselves? We need to do that. We need to look within before we approach God in prayer and ask, "Is there anything in my life that is acting as a barrier between me and God right now?" And if so, then we need to talk to God about that immediately and get that out of the way and let God work on that with us. Well, David had done that. He said, "You have tested my heart." God is a God who knows our hearts. And for those who ask, he tests our hearts. Paul said as much to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he describes the Lord who tests our hearts. And Jesus was one who tested the hearts of men. Think about how many times people came to Jesus, for example, in Matthew chapter 8, and they said, "Oh, I'll follow you." And he looked at them and he said, to one of them, he said, "The birds of the air have nests, and the foxes have the holes to sleep in, but the Son of Man does not have where to put his head. Are you ready to follow under those conditions?" Another one came to him and said, "Let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus replied to him, "Let the dead bury the dead. Follow me." Jesus tests our hearts. How about that rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus' reply was, "You know the commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery." And he said, "All of these I've done from my youth up." And Jesus said, "If you would be perfect, go and sell everything you have and follow me." And what did he do? He went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. What was Jesus trying to help him understand? That there was something in his heart that was a barrier between him and his God. Do we have barriers that are preventing us? We need to think about them. We need to put them aside. We need to talk to God about those things. But David was pure. "You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing. I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, he is kept away from the paths of the destroyer." David certainly had opportunity to do great violence within his life, and I'm sure he perpetrated great violence on occasion. But he never did it without cause. And I think that's what he's talking about here. That, you know, men who do deadly things in service to the country may do those deadly things in a right way or in a wrong way. And doing them in the wrong way will create much trouble between one and God. But David is saying here, yes, I am a man who has done great violence, but I have not allowed that to taint me. I haven't allowed that to overcome me. And he prays that God will uphold him in that regard. "I have called upon you," he says in verse 6, "for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to hear me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me." The apple of our eye. What is that? The commentators say that is your pupil, the little black dot that's right in the middle of your eye, and that there is a special meaning to that. That is, when you look at yourself in a mirror, if you look at your pupil, you can see yourself reflected in your pupil. And the idea there is that David wanted God to keep him just as he is kept in that part of his eye when he looked in his eye in a mirror. That's the idea. Keep me as the apple of your eye and protect me. What do we do with our eyes when something comes at us? We shield our eyes. Well, the first thing we do, what? Put something in front of our face to keep debris or dust or some object, you know, from hitting us in the eye, because we know that we need our eyesight. It is among the most precious of senses that we have. And we want to protect it. That's how David wanted God to protect him. "Hide me under the shadow of your wings." This, no doubt, coming from David's numerous encounters with birds. And seeing how the parents of young offspring overshadow their eggs, overshadow their young chicks with their wings to protect them from others. David specifically wanted protection from the wicked, his deadly enemies, Saul and his men. What about them? What about the wicked? Verse 10. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth, as a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. The wicked speak proudly. Did you see how Saul was so confident he was going to catch David? He made that contract with those people from Ziph, and they said, "We'll go down and find him and we'll deliver him into your hand." David said, "The Lord bless you for that." Saul wasn't in a position to issue blessings for the persecution of God's anointed. That was pride talking. But the proud sometimes have a way of surrounding us. What do we do when we are surrounded by the proud? Well, there's only one thing we can do, and it's the same thing that David did, and that's to humble ourselves before the Lord and go to him in prayer. And maybe, just maybe, more than just maybe, the Lord will respond and deliver us from that circumstance. Yes, the proud are eager to destroy. They're eager to take their enemies and render them ineffective. But God sees all of that. He knew Saul's pride. He knew Saul's envy of David. Envy creates in one's heart bitter hatred and anger and desire for destruction. And so David prays in verse 13, "Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. With your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life." So talking about, and again, the wicked here, from men, deliver David. He wants the Lord to deliver him from these men who only care about this life. That's all they're interested in. They fill their belly with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children. They leave the rest of their possession for their babes. But notice the contrast between the men of the world versus a man of God, who David was, or a man after God's own heart, we should say. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. "As for me," David says. How is David different from the men of the world? The men of the world want what? They want their portion in this life. They want their belly filled with good things. They want children, and they want to give an inheritance to their children. You know, that's their sole preoccupation. That's the only thing that they desire. But David says, "No, I want more than that. I will see your face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." Now that is a tremendous statement right there. And as I was studying this, it reminded me of what the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 3. And in that chapter, John is, of course, talking about the relationship that we have with God, that Christians have with God, that the world does not have. And he makes that clear. Look at chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. It's almost as if John is reflecting on the words of David here in Psalm 17, where David says, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." John must have read those words, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, also wrote, "For we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him." What a tremendous thought. David had that thought. John had that thought. And we can have that thought to motivate us to live for the Lord also. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 23 and read, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Look at 1 Samuel 23 and verse 27. Now remember, here's the situation. Saul and his men have surrounded David. They're almost closing in on him. They're on one side of the rock. David's on the other side of the rock, and they're coming in. David prays his prayer, and look what happens next. "But a messenger came to Saul saying, 'Hurry and come home, for the Philistines have invaded the land.' Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in the strongholds at Engedi." The Rock of Escape. God is our rock. And in times of trouble, he's our Rock of Escape. Appreciated Eddie leading that song so much about how the winds and the waves obey his will. Peace be still. Peace be still. Yes, the tempest can rage sometime, but if we will put our faith and trust in God, he will deliver us. Maybe he needs to deliver you this evening. Maybe you need the Rock of Escape tonight. Not the escape from wicked men who are seeking your life, but the escape from sin that is plaguing your life. And you need to become a child of God through hearing the word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus will be your rock of escape. Why not take him up on his offer this evening? And if you're a Christian, you need the prayers of the church tonight. God will hear your prayer. Let's get all things that interfere in our relationship with God out of the way and trust in him. So whatever your need may be this evening, you can come and make it known right now while together we stand and while we sing.